Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and to verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And our title for this morning is Conversion Mistakes. Conversion Mistakes. So mistakes about conversion. So we live in time when many people think that they are converted when they are not. People are being deceived that they are converted when in reality they are not converted. There are so many counterfeit conversions, and we know that this is the work of the devil to deceive those who are not converted as if they are converted, and even those who are converted as if they are not. So my aim this morning is to show the true nature of conversion, both what it is and what it is not. As I said earlier on, the devil, even if he has the power, he would like to deceive even the elect. According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. We can turn there quickly. Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christians, false Christ, and false prophets, and shall show forth great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is a very, very serious saying, that the devil will even like to deceive those who are elected, those who are converted, as if they are not converted. And he does that through false teachers and false prophets, as we just read. Now, go to any church on this Sunday and go and see the entertainment that is going on there, the dancing, the music that is going on there, that you never even think of sin, how ugly and how serious God takes sin. They do all these things to take your mind away from the reality of who you are, that you are a sinful creature, you need Christ to redeem you from the power of sin and to reconcile you to God. As we are going to learn, we'll begin first with the negatives. But before we go on, let's go back to the story in the Sermon on the Mount by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From verse 1, he said, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, he started by teaching them the blessings of a Christian. From verse 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Which means, when you say the poor in spirit, it doesn't mean those who are poor financial wise or whatever. He's talking about those who see their need of Christ, those who know that when it comes to spiritual things, they are poor, they have nothing to offer, trusting only in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these are the ones that he says the kingdom of God belongs to them. Verse 4 said, blessed are those who mourn, and they shall be comforted. It is not just mourning because you don't have money, or because you are sick, or because things are not going good for you in this world, but to mourn of your sin. Know that what you have done against the holy, holy, holy God, you mourn against it and weep for it and cry that the Lord will redeem you from that situation. Those are the ones he's talking about, as those who mourn. And then verse 5, blessed are the meek, talking about those who are quiet-spirited, those who are gentle, those who are self-sacrificing. The Christian life is a life of sacrificing. So those are the ones, the meek ones are those who are gentle, who are spirited, and those who are self-sacrificing. They are the ones that they are the Bible is talking about their blessedness. Verse 5, he said, for they shall inherit the earth. When he said they shall inherit the earth, he's not talking about this world. Obviously, this world is going to be destroyed, and a new world is going to be created according to the Bible. So they are the ones that he said they will multiply and to feed in the green pastures of that earth. 6, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you thirsting for righteousness? Do you mourn over your sin and you seek Christ to give you his righteousness? If you are thirsting and hungering for righteousness, he says, those are the ones that they shall be filled. Blessed are they. Those who are anxious to spread the gospel, those who are anxious to serve the God, the Lord, they are the ones who shall be filled. In verse 7, he says, for they shall be filled. Then he says, blessed are the merciful, those who are kind, those who are generous, those who are sympathetic, those who are ready to forgive, those who have wronged them, those are the ones that they say they are blessed. And he said, they shall obtain mercy. They shall also obtain mercy from who? From the Father. Because we have also sinned against God, and we need his mercy for us to be forgiven. Then he said, from verse 8, he said, for they shall see God. The merciful ones are the ones who shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, those who always end a quarrel, if they can, within our family, or those who lay themselves out to prevent discord and every kind of quarrel. Those are the peacemakers. And he said, they shall be called the children of God. Verse 9 to 10. And then he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you are being persecuted because of your own attitude, this does not apply to you. Those who are persecuted because of the word, those who are persecuted for preaching the word or for living as a child of God and being persecuted, they are the ones who say that those who are being persecuted for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he said they are blessed. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For the same way the prophets who came before us were also persecuted. And then from verse 5 to 13, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. He's saying that we who follow Christ, we should be, people must see us, must see Christ in us, so they can follow us. We shall be the salt. And he goes on to say that if you are no more the salt, then it should be cast out and be trodden underfoot. People will just step on you. If you don't become the salt, what do you become? If salt loses its power and its taste, it's nothing at all. They are just like gravels, and people will just be stepping on you. Then from, it also goes on to say from verse 14 that ye are the light of the world. And he said, a city that is set on a hill, verse 14 to 15, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under. You can never light a candle and put it under a table if you want to see the light. It must be on top of the table. In the same way, if we are Christians, we must live as Christians. We should behave as Christ. And then people can copy from us. These are all powerful words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the Mount, which is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Then he said that, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets, verse 17 to 18. I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Then we move on to verse 20, which is where our interest is. He said, ye shall in no enter. Listen to it well. You shall in no way enter into the kingdom of God. These are solemn words of warning from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's saying that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, we shall in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the scribes and the Pharisees were the so-called righteous people. Like in our day, we'll be talking about the archbishops, the bishops, the prophets, the major prophets of our world today. people that we see on television, people who claim to be prophets, they are the ones that he's talking about. And let our righteousness exceed that those people, we can in no way enter into the kingdom. And this is a word from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is very, very serious and very, very strong. So it is very, very important for us to know what conversion really is. First, like I said, we will begin with the negatives. Conversion is not just the profession of Christianity. That is our number one point. Conversion is not just the profession of Christianity. Not just saying that you are a Christian, or you go to church, or you were born by a Christian family, and that qualifies you to go into the kingdom of God. Christianity is more than a name. According to Paul on 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. Let's turn there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." It's not in word, but in power. For if it is just by saying that you are a Christian or professing to be a Christian, and that qualifies you to go to heaven, let's see the warning of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a church in the Sardis in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. The last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And he said unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean, write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation." The beginning of the creation of God. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth." Look at the strong words of Christ. "I will spit thee." He will spit, he will reject them because they call themselves as Christians and yet they are not living as Christians. So these are the warnings for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So because those people, they were all Christians by profession. They just live by the name of Christian. But because they are not serious, look at the severe punishment that Christ threatened them, that he will reject them from the kingdom of God. Many people take the name of the Lord and yet do not depart from evil. There is no true repentance. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And 2 verse. 1, it's a long passage from 1 to 19. We can't read all, so but maybe you can take your time and read. You see, those who claim to be Christians are not living by the Christian faith. And in Mark 1:21, we can turn there quickly. Sorry, Matthew 1:21, not Mark, Matthew. Here, we see Christ is talking about sin, that he came to save people, I've been saying this all the time, from their sins and not in their sins. He said, "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So you can't call yourself a Christian and still live in sin. You are saved from the sin and to live for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's another strong warning that we should take care of. When even people who claim to be preaching the word of God, healing in his name, performing miracles in his name, and yet he said, I don't know you. Let's turn to Matthew 7, verse 22 to 23. Matthew 7 from verse 22. Say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So you see people who are even performing miracles in the name of Christ, healing in his name, preaching, and yet he telling them, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. They are sinful people. So iniquity means sin. So he's saying that they are working in sin. So then, it is not just a profession of Christianity that makes one a Christian. It is much more than that, which we are going to learn later. Number two, conversion is not just baptism. Because many people think that when they are baptized, then they are converted. No. There were people who were baptized in the Bible and yet they were not converted. One example is Ananias and Sapphira, the wife. They were baptized people, and yet we know what they did. We can't turn on now because of time. And then Simon Magus in Acts chapter 8, who claimed to be baptized, who claimed to be accepting Christ, and yet we know their kind of lifestyle. Many people, and even some churches, some leading churches in our days, make this mistake. I can talk about Presbyterian, I can talk about the Church of Christ, which emphasize and believe that once a person is baptized, the person is converted. They teach that conversion and baptism are the same. From what we are going to learn today, it is never the same. Baptism is never conversion. If it were to be so, then it would mean that all who have been baptized are saved. But that is not true. According to Acts chapter 3, verse 19, you can put it down. Matthew chapter 28, you see all these things there. And like, if that was to be so, then like, if Christians die, we just give them their baptismal certificate. Even if, and then when they go and meet Christ, they show it to him that I've been baptized, and then you go to heaven. That can never be so. You need to be truly converted. You need a complete change of heart. Not a bypass. A complete change of heart. When the heart is destroyed, you can never repair it. You have to give the person a new heart. And that is what Christ does, which no human being can do. Because, remember, even some disciples, after Christ has spoken like this, he asked them, who can be saved? See, when you look at the conversion, what takes to be converted, you can see that no human being can be saved. But to God, nothing is impossible. For him, it may look like that to a man, but to God, it's impossible. And if it were that cheap, that baptism is just go and be sprinkled with water and you are saved, you wouldn't find such words, strong words like seeking, like diligently seeking, knocking, wrestling. You see all these things when Christ is talking about salvation, as the scripture requires of us. And also, if it would have been true, then Christ would not have said that few that be that find out. And he said few are chosen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21, verse 14. I'll find that later, but I just want to point you to where Christ Christ said, only a remnant will be chosen. Only a remnant. Not only, no people who are baptized. Otherwise, then Galatians 5:19 will be contrary to scripture, because then the drunkard, the fornicator, the murderer, they will all go into the kingdom of God. But according to 1 Corinthians, he said that the power of God, the kingdom of God is not by word, but by the power of God. So we can see that baptism can never take a man to heaven. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 25. And beginning from 19 verse 24, he said, again, I say, that is from Christ, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Then the 25, when his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who can be saved? See, to the man, it looks almost like impossible for anybody to be saved because of the conditions attached to salvation. And our third point is that conversion does not lie in moral righteousness. Some people may think that because they have reformed in their lives, because they have stopped doing certain things that they were doing, maybe because of what has happened to them, either by sickness or some event that has happened, they have changed their lives. And now they think that morally they are living up upright. That will never take them to the kingdom of God. There are people who are worshipping idols, they are Muslims, there are some religious people, but they have not really come to understand their need for salvation and repented. So that moral righteousness can never save them. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. That is Paul, before his conversion. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting, he said that he was zealous, because he was persecuting Christians. Then touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. When he talked of the law, or the land at that time, Paul is saying that he was following all the law. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss to Christ. He knew that all those things that he was doing would have never given him the kingdom of God, because he did not know Christ as he should, that the need for repentance and turning to Christ for salvation. So he said this before his conversion. He said, touching the righteousness which is of the law, he was blameless. So you must do something more than all this to show, or how otherwise you can never, God will condemn you. But this really, I may also tell you that I'm not trying to condemn morality. It's good to be morally upright, but then it will never take you into the kingdom of God. And then our fourth point is that conversion is not conformity to eternal rules of piety. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. People who claim to be Christians and yet denying the power of it. It says such people, shun them, sack them from your place, or don't have anything to do with them. People can have long, long, long prayers. People can pray for hours, and yet they will never be saved. A typical example is the prayer of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18, verse 12. You can put it down. The Pharisee prayed so long. I've done this, I've done that, I fast, I do this, I pay my tithe, and all these things. And the publican came and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Just these words. And we learn that the man went home satisfied. The Pharisee was praying to himself, praising himself. This man really saw his need of pardon and forgiveness, and he was forgiven. Our fifth point is, conversion is not a superficial change or partial reformation. Like I said, it's not like you seeing that maybe you are doing something like disturbing yourself or some other people, and you are trying to reform yourself. No. Conversion is a complete and thorough change of both the heart and life, which nobody can do by himself. So I'm sure after saying all these things, you'll be wondering in your heart, who then can be saved, as the disciples were asking Jesus Christ, because those who were claiming to be righteous, who were following the religious rules and everything, if I'm saying that they can't see the kingdom of God, then how about me, that I've not even come to know about Christ? So then we come to, what then is conversion? If all these negatives are not conversion, then what exactly is conversion? And like I said, conversion is a thorough or complete change of both the heart and life. Like I said earlier on, when you have a heart problem, when your heart is destroyed, sometimes when you go to the hospital, all they can do is to do what they call a bypass. And for those of you who know what a bypass is, you will never be yourself again. You will never be like how your heart was. It has so many complications. And even then, it takes professionals to be able to do that. But here we are talking about a complete change of the heart. Who can do that? It's only the Creator, the one who gave you the heart. He is the only one that can change the heart. And this is the work, like I said, of both God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are the ones who can change your heart and give you a new heart. And that is what we call born again. Then you are born again. First, you were born in sin. You were born in Adam. Now you are born in righteousness. You are born in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Titus 2 verse 3. No, 3 verse 5, sorry. Let's start from verse 4. But after that, after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So you see that here, it is the Holy Spirit that has renewed the person. Now, when we come to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 31. No, it's not very good. After 5:31, sorry. To him have God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. This is the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you see that this conversion work is both by the Spirit and by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 13, He said, from verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while this is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the congregation. So you see that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy. There are so many chapters that deal with this. Ephesians 2 verse 1, Galatians 6 verse 15, Ephesians 2 verse 10, which shows that the work is the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and then God himself. So you see, like I said, this is a complete change of your members, complete change of your heart, the whole body, to be given a new life. Now, after you have been converted, these are the things that you see, which are the proof of the conversion. Now, the body, which were instruments of sin, now become the holy utensils of Christ's living temple. Now Christ comes to live in you. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, 17, chapter 6 verse 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16. Now the body has now become holy and become an utensil for Christ to use. Now you are sanctified. Now you are set apart. You are no more in the world. You are set apart for holy things, for honorable things, and charity and sobriety, and you are dedicated to the Lord. So you can see that number one, the eye, which was once haughty and covetous, which was looking for so many things in this world, now employed in weeping over his sins. When he learns more and more of God and what Christ has done in Calvary, now you see what Christ has done for you, and you weep over your sins. Before, you were just looking for things in this world, following the world and the attractions that are in the world. Number two, your ear, that was once open to Satan's call. You were open to profanity, to filthy jokes, and so on. Now, it's eager to hear the word of God and says, speak for thy servant here. Number three, your head, which was full of worldly desires, is now set to the study of God's will. Now, you are only trying to study the will of God, because now you are changed. Your outlook to life has changed. You are always seeing how you can please God and flee from sin. The fourth one, which is your heart, which was full of filthy lust, has now become an altar from which springs the daily service and prayer and praise. Now the heart, which was full of worldly lust in this world, now your main attention is on your service to God, prayer, and then praise. So in summary, the object which we turn to in conversion, we turn from sin, number one. We turn from Satan, number two. We turn from the world, and then our own righteousness. There's no way anybody can please God by his or her own righteousness. All this can only be done by God. Like I said, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son together can bring about this change. There's nothing you can do to say that you are converted. So if this is the way you are to be converted, then what do you have to do? What you have to do is repenting of your sins and asking God to forgive you. Otherwise, you will die in your sins and you will end up in hell. And the Bible warns, it says it will be tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than people like us who don't believe when we are alive and turn to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and plead for his pardon, that our sins will be forgiven us and we shall be converted. This is one thing I always say about the Christian life. When the other religions, they will tell you, do this and do this and do that and don't do this and you'll be saved. How do you do that as a sinful, weak person? In Christianity, just turn to your Maker. Turn to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to Him and tell Him, this is the way you want to live. You want to live a life that pleases Him. And He will hear you because He has promised that when you come to Him, He will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the opportunity we have as Christians. If you know that from all what I've told you today, you are not converted, what you need to do is to pray to Him. Turn unto Him. Don't pray to me. Don't say it to me. Say it to Him that you've come to understand that you are a sinner and there's nothing you can do about your sin. You are trusting and you are hoping in Him to pardon you and change you. And He has promised that He will never, never forsake us. Christ said, God said to Christ that He said, what He has given me, no one can take them out of my hand. As we come to the end, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, chapter 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. This is a very sweet word from our God Himself. Turn unto Him from today. If you don't see yourself above what I've just told you today, then what you have to do is to turn unto Him and ask Him to forgive you, to pardon Him, to pardon you. And He has promised that He will abundantly pardon. So what are you waiting for? What is your problem? Are you waiting that you yourself can please the Lord? There's no way you can be, because you are born in sin. You are depraved. You are like a dead person. Spiritually, you are dead. There's nothing good in you. Just turn unto Him and trust on Him alone, and He will save you as He has promised. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for Your directions as to how we can be converted and to lead lives that will be pleasing unto You. Father, bless these things in our hearts, that today salvation will come from the preaching of Your word. Heavenly Father, come and answer us as Thou hast said. And when we pray in accordance with Thy will, Thou will answer us. And we know, but Father, it is Your will that all will come to understanding of Thy word and to be converted and to lead lives of holiness and righteousness. So Father, bless these things in our hearts, even as we come praying in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen. Amen.